come from Psalm 39:4-5. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath.
Thanks. Hey, good morning. It's good to have you this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you're here. We're doubly thankful for that, and we just want to say welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks to Paul for letting me speak this morning and take his place to make a presentation and talk about what's happened in the past this past year. So on your announcement sheet, it said, or bulletin this morning, 2019. Want to talk about what's happened and then also kind of challenge us for the future as well. When we talk about the past sometimes, the purpose for this is it helps us to stay focused on the future. When you remember the past, you remember what's going to be coming ahead, and it helps us for the future. Also, we do this all the time with like anniversaries and birthdays. For instance, February 3rd is an important day to me. February the 3rd is the day I met Deborah. I'd known her before. Her older brother, Mark, and Scott Patterson, and Paul Kenyon, and Tommy Ernest, and I were on a YMCA basketball team. I was obviously vertically challenged and skills challenged, but I was still on the team. And I knew her older brother, and her younger brother was a friend of Jeff's, but I didn't really know Deborah. She was out of my league. But it was a church skating get-together on a Sunday night over on Austin Street, where they had a group skating, and then they had a couple's time to skate. And I mustered up the courage to ask her if she'd skate with me, and she said yes. So I skated with her that time and skated with her again, and I've been holding her hand ever since then. So anyway, those dates are good to remember, why we do things, and birthdays, the same kinds of things. It grounds you in who you are and whose you are, and especially in regard to our faith in Christ Jesus. I love the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses reiterates to the children of Israel, remember this, remember this, remember this. And here he says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He wanted them to remember, you're coming to this new land, but when you get there, don't forget where you came from. Because if you do, you can slip back into that. Remember that you're the Lord's, and the Lord brought you out of this. Joshua says the same thing as he challenged the people as they walk across the Jordan River. They're going to carry these 12 stones with them, the priests are, and say, each representative of the tribe of Israel, and as they carry these stones, not the priests, but as they carry the stones across the river, they're going to stack them up on the other side. In the future, when your children ask you, the Lord tells Joshua to tell the people, what do these stones mean? What's this pile of stones mean? Tell them the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Lord or the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So every time somebody walked by there and said, Daddy, what are those rocks about? This is what happened. God cut the water of the Jordan River off, and we walked across on dry ground, and we inherited the land God promised us. He wanted them to remember. It's important to remember things like this. It's also important to remember because sometimes we can lose sight again of where we've been and what's happened to us. We know that in the book of Revelation, as John writes to seven different congregations, some of them had forgotten some stuff. The church in Ephesus, for instance, he had to say, you've forgotten your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. You've forgotten this. And to the church at Sardis, he says, I know your reputation. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Remember, therefore, what you've received and heard. It's important to remember, again, so we don't lose sight of where we've been. We also remember because it helps us with our mission and our purpose. We did that just a few moments ago with the Lord's Supper, right? We gathered around together. We always sing. It's not that you have to, but I think it's a great tradition, and one we've always done, is sing a song before we partake of the Lord's Supper that helps put us back into mind, why are we doing this? What's the purpose of this overall? To remember, Christ Jesus died for us on the cross, for our sins, for my sins. And as I partake of the bread and partake of the fruit of the vine, that's in memory of what Jesus has done. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So we're going to look back over this last year to help us remember where we've been, and then again challenge us hopefully a little for the future. A few happenings in 2019 that we've been through. We've had a lot of new members. Place membership of our congregation who've been very much a blessing to us. Some of these pictures I'll put up here, you'll say, I didn't know, because they've blended so well into our congregation. It's like they've always been here, okay? So we have Mike and Lori Wilson who've come our way. We have Sylvia Rodriguez. We have Brian and Victoria Signorelli. We have Mike and Tracy Taylor, who've been with us. We have Bruce and Lucy Griffith, who've joined us. Justin Lindsay and their daughters, Elena and Haley, who've joined us this year. Larry Logston and Michael Davis, who was here on the Lord's Supper this morning. Todd and Pilar Talley. Mike and Linda Von Willer. Wayne Hill. Don and Nancy Davis. And David and Lynn McWhorter. And one more. Colin, Megan, and Leighton Jernigan. So these families have joined us this year. They've added to our congregation and going to be added to what we're going to be able to do this next year as we serve Christ here together. We've also had baptisms this last year. Here's the folks who've been baptized at our congregation. Natasha, Shannon, Quentin, Jackson Garcia, and then Aiden Hasty, Brian Signorelli again, Jackson Hasty, Braden Bird, and Cutter Cole have all named the name of Jesus, and we're so thankful that they have. We rejoice with them and their families of these profession of faith that they've made and their new walk with Christ that they've had. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." The disciples were forbidding him, and there's a couple of passages where Jesus chides the disciples for keeping people from him, and children in particular. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it." How do we do that? How have we done that this last year? Well, we have our San Angelo Christian Academy. With our academy we have, we serve 114 children now who are not only growing educationally with pretty much a superior education that they're getting academically, but they're growing in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As that's infused into all their lessons every day, they get a chance to walk with Jesus and then have other opportunities as well. So we're letting and have done this last year and continue to support the San Angelo Christian Academy that supports children. We have had a vacation Bible school this last summer where children, over 70 children, came and learned that God is good, no matter whether life's scary or unfair or changes, or even if life is sad, we know we have a faithful Father that's God's good to us. And so children came, they learned in classes, they had snacks and meals that helped reinforce the lessons. And as they came and shared with us, we even had Pharaoh come and join us. They learned that God is good, and we did that this summer. Our Bible classes overall at Southgate this last year, 81 different people taught children's classes to adults, and 151 different classes were taught. We put a really strong emphasis on knowing God's Word, because we know if we hide His Word in our heart, we won't sin against Him, and we'll know who He is. And so we have our Bible classes on Sundays and on Wednesdays for this very purpose, to try to encourage us and help us to get to know God better through His Word, and then strengthen our faith as a result of that. We had the Helping Hands Project with this last year, where we rehabbed 7 different homes, had 55 people help us with this. That's not including the women who made sandwiches and brought sack lunches to us, and so this is just the actual people on the houses. So we went through and we scraped homes and we painted those homes, also built a ramp at one lady's home who needed a ramp because she couldn't get out of her house. We had interior work done on some of the houses that were there. We had windowsills rebuilt and painted and caulked at some houses, and then porches fixed as well. So we've helped these homes. The project is going to be scheduled this year for April the 4th, and in probably about 3 or 4 weeks, I'll have some sign-up sheets. And if you'd like to be a part of that, it's a one-day thing. We work about till about 2. Hopefully we can be done about 8 to 2, and we've gunned those houses, and we've helped these individuals in this way. Jesus said one of the things he's going to do at the end of time is when he separates the sheep and the goats is going to be, how did you care about people? What did you do for people who are in need? And so he said, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat." We participated this last summer in the Kids Eat Free program, where we had children who were from underserved areas who don't have meals in the summertime. We had the opportunity to serve those children and to provide some other educational activities for them, but to serve them during the summer. We served 430 people. We served 56 different children, and 82 people from Southgate over about 6-week period came and helped, just to help serve kids and love on kids a little bit and let them know a little bit about us as well. We also have the Rush Street Luncheons. On the second and third Tuesdays of the month, you hear this announced. We go to Rush Street, the building that's there, and at Rush Street we wind up getting food from the food bank, and we prepare it in the kitchen. while we get that all completed, then we go and serve it to the people who come, the guests at Rush Street, who are sometimes either lower income or some are homeless. And we serve these individuals a meal, a quality meal during that time. By the numbers, here's what we've done. We've had 32 people work in this ministry. We've served 2,614 meals this last year. And if you'd like to be a part of the Rush Street work, we'd welcome you to be able to come and join us as well with that. We've also helped families move. We've helped seven different families move who are either moving into the San Angelo area or those who are moving out of our area who needed to move. When we started, it was like that moving truck up there. When we finished those days, we were usually like this. I've had several people say, lose my phone number, lose my phone number, after we've moved people. But it is a help to folks who physically can't move things themselves to have a chance to have other opportunities for people to serve them and helping them in a way to get them on their way. So we've done this last year as well. This last fall, in December, we had 35 people who went Christmas caroling. We went to see members of our congregation who can't come to services, who are pretty well in either they're homebound or they're in some facility that's there. We did that to let them know we love them. It's to share a good time with each other. We sang songs, but also to let them know we love you and you're not forgotten, and we want to come and share a warm time with you. And we did that here in December. We have some other efforts here at Southgate as well, like the Leadership Training for Christ that's going on now, where they're going to be working through and doing their presentations based on the book of 2 Samuel and our Bible Bowl, which is going to be meeting this evening, as they work through 2 Samuel as well. We have our mission trips to Manuelito Children's Home and Impact Church of Christ, where individuals go and serve in those places and help strengthen the people who are there. We have our missions work here at this congregation in these areas: Sucre, Bolivia, Mexico, Egypt, Aracaju, Brazil, Kaluakona, Hawaii, and the Quito School of Biblical Studies in Ecuador. So we support these works. We communicate with these individuals. This last fall and then this fall again, we'll have many of those individuals come and report on what they've done and how the work is going as we try to help spread the gospel and support people who are spreading the gospel, not just here at Southgate, but in all these other places in the world as we try to be an effective congregation in doing that as well. With our own work that we do here through World Bible School, we have over 50 people who are involved in the World Bible School program. The word's basically being taught in Malawi, Zimbabwe, and people who are incarcerated in the United States. There's going to be a lesson later this spring. We'll talk about World Bible School in more detail, but Harold and Ann Smith, I know they wouldn't want their picture up there, but I put it up there anyway, have been very instrumental in guiding this work and directing this work and helping people to stay involved and engaged. And for those of you who do World Bible School study, thank you so much, because you're teaching the Word to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to get this. And so they're involved in that as well. In April, we collected 128 duffel bags for children for the Children's Advocacy Center. You see, when the children are taken by the Child Protective Services away from a home because of things going on in their home that aren't right, they oftentimes leave with just the shirt on their back. They can't leave with anything else. There's nothing for them to gather things with. So these duffel bags are for them to have to be able to put some clothes in, some toys in, some things, so when they go to their next location, they have some possessions with them. And we collected over 128 duffel bags and gave another $1,000 for other duffel bags to help children out in that kind of situation as we cared in the community for those who are the least fortunate. We also collected 165 toys for the children during this Christmas for Kids. Abused and neglected children who otherwise are not going to get any toys, we collected those this fall and deliver those as well. We want to remember this passage we started off with this morning, Psalms chapter 39, verses 4 through 5. In that passage, the psalmist is talking about how brief our life is. And he says again, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." 2019 went by like that. I promise you 2020 will. Matter of fact, by the end of this week, we'll be done with January. 1/12 of the year is over. We've already gone that far, and we're already into February, then spring. It passes quickly. How are we using the opportunities we have to serve God with the time He's given us? Because it will go by very quickly. We have this passage in 1 Kings chapter 20 where Ben-Hadad is a king of Aram, and they're attacking Israel, and King Ahab's the king at the time. God gives Ahab the victory and says, I want to do this, and I want to show you so you will know who the Lord is and who the battle is. And he does that. Well, Ben-Hadad flees. Ahab lets him go, basically, and says, okay, you say you're sorry, I'll let you go. He's going to be rebuked by this by a prophet. A prophet's going to come, and a prophet's going to pretend to be beaten up and like he was a soldier in the battle. And as the king, Ahab, passes by, he says, oh, king, help me out. He said, what's the deal? He said, well, here's what happened. While I was fighting, somebody gave me a prisoner, and while I had that prisoner here, here's what happened. I was busy here and there, and he escaped. So there are opportunities to be served, and King Ahab was then condemned and told his end was there for letting Ben-Hadad go. In the same way, the illustration was, there's opportunities to be seized and captured, or they'll escape. And we can let those opportunities, if we're not careful, escape from us, and another month's passed by, and another month's passed by, and then another year's passed by, and we've not been involved like we wanted to be, like we thought we'd like to be, just because things get in the way. We're busy here or there, and things escape us. Our opportunities escape us overall. There's going to be opportunities in 2020 to serve God. This is the importance of this, is Peter, who probably knew Jesus about as well as anybody. Remember, he walked around with Jesus for at least 3 years and saw him firsthand up close what he did. When he gets the opportunity to talk to the Cornelius and his household about Christianity, because he's now introducing it to the Gentiles, he says, when he describes Jesus, he said, everywhere he went around doing good. That's what Jesus did. He did good everywhere he went. Other gospel writers have picked up that same theme again and again and again. So you have Paul in Galatians chapter 6, who writes, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are the family of believers. That's our challenge, is to make the most of the opportunities provided for us and to do good. And to do good not for ourselves, not for the glory of Southgate, for the glory of God, for his kingdom. James picks up this same kind of theme, and James is direct, as you know, pretty well to the point. This is Jesus' brother, and here's what he says. He says in verse 22 of chapter 1, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately, forgets what he looks like. It's like, here's what I know I'm supposed to do, and I look away and I forget about the whole thing because I get focused on other things. And he says, don't just look, but be involved as well. In chapter 2, he says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes, daily food, and if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. It's important that we make our opportunities and follows through. And in chapter 4, he says similar at the end when he says in chapter 4, verse 17, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. It's not just a matter of proactively sinning, but there's also inactively sinning. I know I should have done this, but I didn't participate because I was busy here and there and losing opportunities. And if we don't do that good, then we sin as well. John, also Jesus's best friend, picks up the theme and adds to this, as he says in 1 John chapter 4, chapter 3. He writes and says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. What he's saying is love is active. It's engaged. It's doing something. It's not just words, but it's doing something. And those of you in marriage relationships, you know that. It's not enough to say I love you. It's something much more to do something to show that, to demonstrate that, to make that something real in that person's life. He goes on and says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. It's about being active with our faith, demonstrating our faith, and showing our faith around us. This year, there's going to be opportunities again to serve God in 2020. The question we have is this: will you let those escape or capture and seize those? This morning, not everybody's able to do this. Not everybody's able to participate in the opportunities because your life is not right. Some of you here this morning know, I've not been baptized for the remission of my sins. I know I should, but the opportunity's escaped. I've not taken advantage of that. Either maybe because of maybe some pride, maybe because of some fear, maybe of uncertainty, but you've not taken that step yet. So you're not able to partake in these opportunities. We invite you in a moment to come if you'd like to and be baptized this morning. We'd love to honor that your request, your dedication to God, and to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus today for your forgiveness of sins. Some of you may have other things in your lives. You know, my life's not all what it should be. Maybe you need some help with prayers. We'd be happy to pray for you. Or maybe just you need to have a prayer in your own place to say, God, help me to make the most of the opportunities I have this year at this time in service to you in faithful loving for what you've done for me. Let me serve back to you. If you have any needs this morning, whatever they may be, please come at this time as we stand, as we sing.
Days are filled with